have gone silent, maybe even vanished. But there are some birds that, much like people, rally in the afternoon, offering a second chance to see and hear them. Cormorants are sleek water birds that dive for fish. There are cormorant species found all over the world. The double-crested cormorant is the most common in North America. During the summer breeding season, this species has two peak times for hunting. The first around 9 a.m. and the second around 3 p.m. So if you're out in the afternoon, you might find a cormorant hard at work diving for fish. Cormorants don't spend most of their time looking for food, though. They catch their prey efficiently, letting them spend most of their day loafing around, drying their feathers in the sun, and croaking at their neighbors. Sounds like an ideal day for many human anglers, too. Reel in a few fish, then kick back and relax. For BirdNote, I'm Ariana Rimmel. BirdNote is grateful to former board member and photographer extraordinaire Owen Deutsch and his wife Rona Talcott for their strong support over the years.
Melanoma is the deadliest form of skin cancer. Cases in Canada have jumped 16% in just 1 year. Over 1,300 lives were lost in 2024. But most cases are preventable. 90% of skin cancers are caused by exposure to UV rays. Protect yourself, stay in the shade, wear protective clothing, and always use a broad-spectrum sunscreen. Visit saveyourskin.ca for more information on prevention and patient support. Together, we can make a difference.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We are rooted in community support and engagement. Thank you for helping us stay on air.
Hey, Scream Therapy listeners. People sometimes ask me what's been the most popular episode of Scream Therapy through the years. Well, one episode stands way above the rest. That's episode 40 with Amy Taylor of breakout Aussie punk band Amel and the Sniffers. When Amy came onto the podcast in 2001, Amel and the Sniffers were an upstart band with a dedicated following, but they weren't playing stadiums like they are now. Over the past few years, the band has gotten bigger and bigger, and the number of ears on Amy's episode grew and grew. So here it is, another listen to episode 40, Amy Taylor of Amel and the Sniffers on self-care and mental health. Welcome to Scream Therapy. I'm your host, Jason Schurz. In October of 2018, I found myself in the hospital, sitting across from a psychiatrist who was telling me I had bipolar. I was sent home with a bunch of medication and laid on the couch for a week. I had my iTunes library on shuffle, trying to shake the hornet's nest from my head. Ever since I was a kid, I've been using loud music as a form of therapy. Punk rock and mental health have always been connected. This podcast looks at that connection through the lens of different guests. This is Scream Therapy. Self-care for punk musicians on tour often gets lost in the chaos and fury of the shows. It takes strong willpower and awareness to avoid the unhealthy elements of touring, drugs and alcohol, lack of sleep and food, and even on-stage injuries. Amy Taylor is the vocalist of Australian rocked-out punk band Amel and the Sniffers, a four-piece known for its killer riffs and Amy's wild dance moves and boundless energy. Despite expelling so much during the band's shows, Amy is careful to take care of herself before and after gigs. When she first found punk rock, Amy was attracted to what she calls consensual violence, releasing her anger by thrashing around in the pit and banging into other punks. Now that she's fronting Amo and the Sniffers, she hasn't stopped. Jumping down into the audience to get into the fray, she loves whipping people into a frenzy. Amy often nurses a sore throat after shows and spends a lot of time on the road by herself. She gets lonely and sometimes has dark thoughts. Using punk as an outlet, in what she calls the power of the microphone on stage, while taking care of herself off stage, Amy has found a healthy balance between the quiet and the loud.
Taylor from Australian punk band Amel and the Sniffers. Yeah, I'm the singer in that band. We've been a band since 2016. I've just always really liked live music. To me, it's super important as like a community thing and being included, I guess. I think live music and like punk music and I guess whatever genre you listen to, but because I really love garage and the energy of punk, garage, hardcore, all that stuff, that's what I like and that's where I feel like I can just get rowdy and be myself. But I think it's really important because it's, for me, I kind of am like socially sort of weirdo, but when you go to gigs and stuff, you can be around heaps of different people. You can like chat with a couple of different people, but you're all together and you're all like sharing something and you're like, you know, it's like really cathartic to like flash around in a pit and get sweaty and listen to music. It's just really the peak of life in a lot of ways.
The thrashing around and being in the pit, those things were therapy for you to help with your mental health?
I think I didn't even really realize that it was until maybe even the last couple of weeks when I realized like, oh, that's probably like a big part of why I feel weird about just like a hole in my identity, because so much of my socializing always came from that. And so much of my joy came from that as well. But it's definitely a big part of my mental health and like feeling like I'm a part of something. And I guess I have heaps and heaps of energy and it's like, I do work out and stuff and I do get rid of it like that. But to get rid of it, dancing to music in any kind of capacity is just really special, I think. I grew up in Mullumbimby, which is a town in northern New South Wales. It's pretty gentrified now, which is pretty normal for everywhere, I guess. But it's like a small kind of town. It's really hippie, like super hippie / like farmer. Growing up, there wasn't really, because it's so small, like there's like never any shows on and stuff. But then somebody introduced me to hardcore shows. So I just used to go to like local kind of like punk, hardcore, garage bands constantly because they were all ages. I really liked the consensual violence of it. And I liked that I could get rid of, I have so much energy. I liked that I could get rid of it. I liked that I could just smash it out. I don't know. I just liked that everyone could just be themselves there, I guess, in a way. And I really just like resonated with the anger of punk music and hardcore music, because growing up, like I didn't really see a lot of expressed anger, I guess, like because of the town I'm from, it was always really like suppressed. And then when I went to a hardcore show, I was like, oh, sick. Like you can feel angry at stuff because there's lots to be angry about and it's okay to express it. And I actually need to express it, be insane.
And so when you got into singing in a band, was Amel and the Sniffers your first band?
Yeah, Amel and the Sniffers is the first band, okay. Yeah.
Having this stage presence or just getting up there and doing it, how did that feel? And was there a bit of a hump to get over it at first?
To be honest, it came really naturally for me. Even when I was a kid and I would go to the hardcore shows, it was like only ever males on stage. So I'd be like, I want to do that. Or not even I want to do that, but it's like, I think I could do that. Like, because there was only ever really male, so I didn't know it's something I could do, but I knew that I wanted to. And then when we started the band, it was all pretty organic and like intuitive, and I didn't really get that nervous or anything, but I really found that I liked, I guess, the power of having the microphone, just being able to express myself in a performative kind of way was really, I don't know, special for me, and I never really flinched at it.
Did you find yourself going to a different place when you were doing it, or were you remembering everything? I know a lot of folks talk about dissociating when they're up on stage.
I actually reckon I disassociate. Yeah, it's kind of like meditative in a lot of ways. I'm like hyper focused, but also like I'm just not there at the same time. So it's like I'm super, I'm there, but I'm also just out of body kind of thing.
Have you ever found there is feeling unsafe or?
I think for me, it's like I really like work myself up at the shows because I am like just pretty, I've got all this aggression and stuff and that's my place to get rid of it. It's like I can wind myself up and then feel just like super intense after a show or whatever. Or so rather than feeling like that was unsafe, it's more trying to like navigate calming down afterwards because I'm just genuinely get absolutely like wound up.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. So what do you do to wind down after a really hectic show?
I don't know if I have it completely figured out yet, to be honest. Sometimes it's different. Sometimes I just for a little bit. Sometimes I just like hang out with people. Sometimes I go eat food. I don't really have a toolkit for it. I just am still learning, I guess, how to work around it.
Do you sleep that night?
Yeah, I actually do.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah, my sleep setup is pretty good for some reason. Most of the time, I can just shut my eyes and I'm out.
Nice. Yeah, sleep's so crucial.
Yeah.
And I guess when you're on tour, that could be a game changer.
Yeah, well, when I'm on tour, like I'm pretty militant with my health. Well, militant's probably a bit ambitious, but I just try and pay as much attention to it as I can. Like, I really like value feeling like healthy, and I really like value having like a clear mind. Just being like logical, and I really like control, and I don't like being out of control, especially like in foreign places or whatever around people I don't know. It's like I like being like aware most of the time. Yeah, on tour it's like I don't party that much. I'll like try and do like stretches, and I'll try and eat as healthy as I can, drink heaps of water, get good sleep, not drink too much and stuff, because I just personally like I just don't like the way it makes me feel that much. I lose my voice all the time, so I just got to be really careful with that, not because I really like being able to sing and stuff.
Any injuries that happen that you have to nurse afterwards when you get up there and thrash around?
Yeah, constantly, actually. Like physical injuries, like, yeah, I've torn the cartilage in my knee, gotten black eyes, chipped my teeth, everything really. But nothing too crazy. Like I've hurt my leg a couple of times and like been on limping and stuff like that. One time I had food poisoning for 2 weeks and didn't. We started the tour in Russia, which was crazy in itself. But they put us up in this really nice hotel and there was a buffet breakfast with like all this fish. And I was like, this is cool. I'm just going to eat it. And then started the tour 2 weeks of just like terrible stomach.
Brutal.
Yeah.
You try to put a exercise and diet routine into your when you're on the road. What is the difference? Like if there's days that you can't work out or can't do those things, do you notice it quite a bit?
Yeah, I actually do. Like I just, and same in just general life as well. Like if I just get really wound up and like intense and I can get pretty dark in the mind, but I think it'll be like after having the year in Melbourne, going back into touring, I think it'll be completely different because I've had the time to have stability here and work out proper routines and like proper exercise stuff. Being overseas will be easier. Also, I never read books before. Like, no, it was always like books. But over the last year, someone introduced me to books and I was actually like, well, this is the best thing of my life.
You can read books now when you're touring.
Yeah. And I feel like I've learned a lot of like, because I guess I was like always focusing on like the physical agility. So if I exercise, eat healthy, drink water, sleep, I'll be asleep, which didn't always work. Over the last year, I've learned a lot about like mental agility and like, you know, just like being strong in the brain. And I think that will actually be the thing that will help me more than anything. No matter how much I work out, if I'm like just letting my thoughts run crazy, then it doesn't actually help that much, even though it does help.
So the exercising, the things that you do, those can lift the depression.
Definitely, 100%. They make my life so much better. Like even just going for a 10-minute walk around the block when I first wake up and stuff like that. Be like, oh, life's pretty sweet. Especially when you're just like inside all the time or like looking at a screen or in a van or in dark venues, dark vans, all that stuff, whatever. You don't get like to just do human things, which is like get light, have water, eat something green.
A lot of folks that are on the road in bands that are looking after their mental health have told me that they're really afraid of having some sort of a crisis while on the road. Have you thought about that at all? Because I know that you really go hard and I'm sure you've had an empty tank a few times.
Yeah, definitely. I've pretty intense workhorse in a lot of ways and I like don't let anything ever stop me. Like, I don't know when to be like, all right, Amy, chill. Like, you need to book less shows or like any of that stuff. So I've definitely had intense kind of like anxiety spells or depression spells on tour where I'll play a gig and just like can't settle down, or like I have like no control over my thoughts and stuff like that. And I think everyone in the band has had like different moments of pretty bad mental health on the road. You know, we've toured for like 4 months at a time. It just can be really exhausting, and it's confusing because you're like, this is such a lucky privilege to be touring the world. And then you're like, but why do I feel so shattered? And I feel like that's what gets, that can be one of the main things that get me down, because I'm like, oh, I'm ungrateful and I should really pumped on this. But sometimes you just can't be, because you actually just need to sleep. And the biggest part as well is being isolated from your communities. Because I lose my voice a lot, I'm always kind of quite isolated because I can't communicate with people because I need to rest. And I'm there to do the show. That's what I want to do. So that's a priority. And then so I can go like months kind of thing without really having any proper human interactions, you know, chats about stuff. Community is like 15-hour flight away. So it can be really just, that's a really tough thing, I think, about touring for me. And that's why I like the mental health and like being healthy and stuff is super important, because all of that with being like in some kind of limelight, like in the attention, if my thoughts fault, I get dark on myself, then that's when like everything feels horrible. An empty balloon getting like floating around the abyss with like people constantly looking at you and stuff. So like my self-esteem just has to be like in check, or it'll just be like horrible. And it has been like, it goes down all the time and stuff. And it's like, that's pretty normal. I'm not saying that I'm like, I think I'm the best all the time, but it's just important to just be like logical about it as much as I can, and know who I am. So that I can't get lost in it all, I guess.
What do you do on the road to take care of each other as a band?
Not that much, to be honest. but we all look after each other in our own way. Like, yeah, we are like our families. When we come back from tour at the end of 2019, we lived together all throughout the pandemic and stuff, and we've just spent the last like 4 years living on each other's shoulders. So, you know, if someone's feeling down, we'll try our best to like bring them up. I don't know if we had that much emotional intelligence, or at least I didn't until probably last year. I didn't really learn any of that stuff and didn't know how to like care for other people and be like a good friend. So I feel like it'll be easier now, but we'll always ask how someone's doing and like listen to them and like try and sort them out if we can. As we get older, like we'll be able to look after each other way more, but just take it as it comes, I guess. Because I know we all really care about each other and they really care about me. And they'll try their best, I think, to like sort it out or listen to me or like, yeah, that kind of thing.
I read in one of the articles that I read for that before I talked to you here, because I felt like I should know something about what other people are saying about you, which is important. In some of these articles, you talked about being an angry person.
Yeah, I think definitely I'm an angry person. Like, I have a really short fuse and I can just be like really frustrated, which it's not always a good thing, because I can just quickly like and just get so like wound up and just, yeah, like adrenaline pumps at like the drop of a hat. It's like I was saying earlier, I suppose, I just have like all this energy, and whether it's like an anxious energy, a good energy, like a negative energy, whatever it is, I've just like got it, and I just have to keep it pretty managed, or I can just be like pretty intense, I guess.
Are you able to channel that anger into what you do?
Definitely. That's why I love this band so much. It's such a good outlet for me to just be like run around and like be angry, because I feel like in the punk community, just any kind of like heavier music community, it's like it's really a good place for people to release that, because only a small amount of things that you can get rid of your anger with. So like boxing or any kind of sports like that. But there's not actually that much. It's not really like an accepted thing, because like anger is scary. It's scary when you see someone angry. It has to just be released in the right way. And for me, at least, I think that like punk music and hardcore music is the right way to do that. Like there's a really like consensual, accepted, not violence, but that like energy and that anger within like the community and like gigs and stuff like that. At least I found when I was younger, everyone could like thrash around and punch, and then you'd move back slightly. There was like a ring of people who kind of wanted to be amongst it, but also just wanted to watch. And then there was the people who didn't want to be a part of that. They could just watch as well. everyone's kind of there and everyone is angry and needs to get rid of that feeling, I guess.
We as punks understand that, and mosh pits, we understand that they're very safe places, actually.
Yeah.
Safe, but very intense.
Yeah.
But for someone who's not part of that, what have you heard from folks, thinking maybe family or somebody that didn't really know what it all meant? Do they freak out about it or do they understand it?
I think people get really like surprised by it or worried by it, including people in the music community in general. Like there's a lot of people who are like, we want a gig environment to be a safe space. And I totally 100% agree with that. And I don't want anyone to ever feel unsafe. But I think, and it's like, of course it would be unsafe. You get like thrashed around and it's often like male dominated and stuff. But to me, I've always personally felt really safe in a mosh pit. And there's like really that attitude of like helping each other. So like if anybody ever falls down, 100% of the time they'll get lifted back up, tap on the shoulder, say like, you're right, that kind of thing. There's always a care involved. The anger's never directed at anyone in particular. It's always directed just at life and like the air, and everyone's just there releasing it, but no one's like actually targeting anybody. Yeah, I personally have always found it really safe. And I 100% understand it's not for everybody, and it would be scary if you never know what people have been through and stuff.
Yeah, it's almost this concept, and I've written about this for the book that I'm working on, but we're given permission to scream in the punk scene, whereas in outside society, you're not allowed to scream, you're not allowed to be angry.
Yeah.
We're part of a very special community in that sense.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think like understanding my emotions a little bit more or whatever, when I didn't really completely understand them a couple of years ago. It's like, that was just the way I was like, I don't know what I'm feeling. So like now I can kind of be like, I kind of know what I'm feeling, but still. And that's a really helpful thing as well, because it's like, it just feels like less of an uncontrolled anger then. And I can understand it and then release it rather than just flailing around being like, I'm angry.
So how will that change shows going forward then?
Yeah, I don't know, actually. I have no idea. It's yet to be seen.
You're not going to turn into a folk singer or something?
Not at this stage, no. Nah.
Is there, in your mind, Amy talking to me and Amy on stage? Are those two separate parts of you?
For me personally, it's like I always don't want it to be separate. I try really hard to just have whatever I am on stage to be as authentic to like who I am at the time. Whatever, like, for example, I feel like I've changed heaps and like think differently than when I did then. We played 4 shows in 16 months. And just because I went through like a really rough time last year, same as everybody, in that I don't want to just be the same person that I was before. Like, I don't want to get up there and act as Amy. I want to like make Amy just be Amy kind of thing. And whatever that comes out as, like, I just want it to be that rather than like pretending to be something I was like 2 years ago. Or super normal for humans to like evolve and stuff. And yeah, I want the stage Amy to evolve too and not separate it. But I do think that it's just a portion of myself. And because I have that release and I have that place to like get rid of all that like anger and like say what I want to say and like express myself, I feel like it actually like it gives me more confidence to just constantly express myself and be myself and ignore other people's judgments. And it gives me a reason to, because I'm like, it's super important to just be whatever I want to be, obviously without walking all over anybody else, but like just expressing myself the way I need to. It's like, that's such an important part of like good mental health, I reckon, and not feeling like you have to be someone you're not, feeling just like free and light. And I feel like having that stage performance or stage person, which is also me, encourages like day-to-day me to do that more as well and realize how like insane it is to be anything but that.
When you think back to the first show you went to when you were a youth, do you remember how you felt walking through the doors?
I can't remember. I couldn't tell you about the first one, but I know the first couple, like just feeling like, yeah, because the town I'm from is pretty surfy or whatever. And I was just like an awkward, like pale, kind of like blonde, scruffy head, like 14-year-old or whatever I was. And like everyone there, I was like, well, everyone's so like cool. And, you know, they're all got like black shirts on and like look like scary and stuff. And I remember the band started playing and I was just, everyone was throwing down. And I was like, I'm pretty sure I would have like got amongst it. To me, I was little and like there was all these like big blokes and I was like, I just didn't care. I was like, I couldn't see any difference between them and me. It was just like, oh, sick. That's what people are doing here. I can do that too. Throw down with the big blokes and stuff. And, you know, I just felt really dope. It was just exciting. I think it was just exciting and it felt fun. And I liked that it was kind of scary. Like I was like, this is kind of scary. And like, I don't necessarily fit in here. yeah, I've got like surfy blonde hair and like just denim cutoffs and stuff. But I was like, this is just cool.
And you did fit in.
Yeah, and I did fit in. And nobody, so I remember someone was like, you look like Kesha. But other than that, like everyone was just fine. Everyone was just awkward and uncomfortable and weird, just like me, which is, I think, a good lesson to remember that, like, kind of anywhere you go, everyone's just like awkward and uncomfortable and like not that self-assured and like just wants to have a chat most of the time. And it's like, it was the same there. You know, maybe like that chick with like the black hair and like the baseball cap and like that's glaring at me just thinks the same thing I do.
That was my conversation with Amy Taylor of Amel and the Sniffers, amelandthesniffers.com. For more episodes of Screen Therapy, go to screentherapyhq.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. Doing this podcast and talking to folks about punk rock and mental health has been a crucial part of my own mental stability, and it means so much to me that you're out there listening. Screen Therapy is created in the Cathet region of coastal British Columbia, Canada, on the traditional territory of the Clahoman Nation. Contact me at screentherapyhq.com or email me at screentherapypodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Let's talk about punk rock and mental health. Until next time, take care and be well.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. Broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia.
This is Bird Note.
Summertime.
It's just a few weeks past the solstice, and the real heat of summer is yet to come. Some shorebirds are already on their way south, but most songbirds will be here for a while longer. What's the best time of day to look for them? Well, many birds are most active in the morning, not long after sunrise, taking advantage of the abundance of insects at that hour. As summer waxes and temperatures rise, midday heat sends people inside, and birds take a siesta too. And then, both birds and bugs rev up again in the late afternoon. In the early morning, and again near dusk, just about the time mosquitoes are biting, that's when birds are busiest. One exception is gulls. You'll see them soaring and feeding throughout the day, because their preferred foods, whether a salmon fry or a French fry, are available all day long. Hummingbirds are out and about too, because their frantic metabolism requires that they feed almost constantly. But mostly, midday is a quiet time for birds. Are you looking for birds this summer? The cooler parts of the day are the best for a stroll and best for watching birds. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
Standing up against racism is an ongoing battle. How will you help?
I will always be given these bigotry and hatred when I see them.
I will put my passion into action. I will stand against racist words and action and speak out against hate when I see it. Hate has no place in Canada.
I will continue to honor, express, and promote my Indigenous culture.
This message is brought to you by the Canadian Anti-Racism Youth Coalition. Visit caryc.ca for more information about how you can stand up and speak out.